Today's scripture reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to verse 14. You can find this in the Pew Bibles on page 704. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they are very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there was sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, so they may live. I prophesied as I had been commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you from your graves, O my people, and I'll bring you back from the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I'll put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I'll place you upon your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." This is the word of God.
Lord God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that your word inspires, it instructs, it heals, it convicts, it renews. And we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. May you be our teacher. In your name, amen. 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 It's a four-letter word that can change your life. A four-letter word that can change your life. And without it, it sounds something like this. Sorry, ma'am, there's nothing we can do. No one can help me. I feel like giving up. It's too late. It's something that we read a lot about this week in the South China Morning Post. You probably, along with me, were reading the paper, watching the news. Warnings of mental health crisis in the city. The whole society has fallen into hysteria due to a volcanic eruption of deep-seated, and it goes on. People are upset. They're worried about others. They're uncertain for their life. Some of those that they helped said they felt helpless, and it goes on and on. The four-letter word in which I'm referring to is, drumroll please, hope. Hope, that's the four-letter word. Thank you for playing. Four-letter word is hope, and hope really is the only thing between humanity and the abyss. Experts are often amazed at the recovery of the people when they have hope. Patients, victims, individuals, when there is hope, there is a different type of recovery. And hope is an emotion that springs from the heart, not so much from the brain. Hope is something that will lie dormant, and until it's needed, it will kind of sit there, and then it rises to the occasion. And hope is the sure belief that you will be able to overcome. that you will be able to persevere, that you can endure anything and everything that comes your way. You have hope. Hope is a belief in circumstances and that those circumstances will actually get better. It's different than wishful thinking. We wish that the situation will get better, but hope is actually a belief. So for the 65-year-old who's lost everything, their family, their possessions, their home, if they have hope, they will say, I can start over, I can rebuild, I can do it differently. That is the belief of someone who has hope. There's some interesting research done on hope. And they found that hope is actually related to academic achievement. Researchers have found that hope above and beyond exceeds IQ, divergent thinking, which is the ability to generate a lot of ideas, and conscientiousness. Athletes actually have higher levels of hope than non-athletes. Hope leads to everything from better performance in school, more success in the workplace, just general overall sense of happiness and well-being. Hope. Hope is like oxygen. We can't live without hope. It's interesting, just a little bit of reading I was doing this week on hope, and there's an expert named Lopez, and he's an expert on hope, and he's found that only half of us measure high on hope. Half. So is it this half or is it this half? You know, which of us has hope? And so it kind of begs the question, what actually prevents me or what actually prevents you from having hope? Or better still, what prevents us from placing our hope in something greater than ourselves, giving our hope in a living God? Well, we often have a limited view of God, and sometimes we can put God in a box and we can think that God is only interested in just this little pocket of things over here. He's not really interested in the big picture. We can have disbelief. We actually don't believe that God can do anything fantastic. Does he even exist? I'm not really sure. Sometimes our past experiences can give us the impression that God isn't there. I've tried God before. I've heard this many times. I've tried God before. It didn't work for me. It's hard for me to have hope. I can't find hope. God has failed you. He has disappointed you, and you feel you can't place your hope in him. Or maybe you're sitting here today and you've never really thought about putting your hope in God, making him be the source of your hope. As we can see from today's text, that no matter how hopeless the situation is, no matter how tired, no matter how worthless you feel, God can turn things around and he can restore you through the power and anointing of his Holy Spirit. David read today about a guy named Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel, from youth, was educated and trained to be a priest in the kingdom of Judah. And Ezekiel had a lot of high hopes and a lot of dreams, but they were dashed by a famous evil king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar took Ezekiel and a lot of the other young Jews captive to Babylon. And at the time of writing, the text that we read today, at the time of writing, there were 10 tribes of Israel, and they were literally scattered all around the nations. The armies had all been destroyed. The entire nations had been taken into captivity, and people really felt lost. They really felt confused. They really felt a lot of despair. And a lot of them were thinking they would never again return to their promised land. They would never go back to Israel because the holy city of Jerusalem was now laying in complete ruins. Many of the exiled Judeans assumed that a deity, a greater deity than what they had, because they'd been defeated by a deity, they thought maybe that deity was stronger, that God was stronger than the one that they worshipped. And people started to doubt God. They started to really, can I really trust him? Can I really put my faith in him? Can I really put my hope in him? Surely there must be a bigger God, because look at the situation that we're in. It is not a good situation. They were exiles, they were broken, they were in despair, they were hopeless, and they were uncertain for their future. And in chapter 37, God gives Ezekiel a vision for the people of Israel. Now, we first read about Ezekiel's vision in chapter 1. It's always a good place to start, chapter 1. At the very beginning of chapter 1, verse 1, we hear a lot about Ezekiel being 30 years old and how God has called him. And then when we get to the end of chapter 1, verse 28, Ezekiel gives his experience of having a vision. And this is what he says. "When I saw it, I fell face down. And I heard the voice of the one speaking." So Ezekiel has this profound vision. He's blown out of the water. He's flat down. But he knows the source. He knows who's telling it to him. And fast forward to verse 37, we hear now his vision for Israel. So what's the vision that God has given him? Ezekiel is standing ankle deep in a valley of dry bones. And it's understood that these bones actually represent the exiled people. This is the exiled people that he's being told about. And these bones are kind of the representation of all the armies that had fallen. And there's bits everywhere. And he's standing there and he sees nothing but despair. You can imagine this valley and all these pieces. But God gives Ezekiel hope. He gives him a vision for the future. And he encourages him and he reminds him that his people are not forgotten. And this is what he says. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you and cover you. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And then I breathed on them, and they came to life, and they stood up to their feet, and those in exile, those who felt that their situation was hopeless and impossible." And we know this because verse 11 says, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." They were desperate. They are in despair. And here's what God says, "I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will put my spirit in you and you will live." It's interesting. Those are 14 verses that David read. Nine times the Hebrew word ruah, R-U-A-C-H, nine times is mentioned. And it's mentioned in different forms. It's mentioned as breath. It's mentioned as wind. It's mentioned as God's own spirit. But nine times we are told that the Spirit of God is going to be in this. It's the same life force. It's all the same God. Through this metaphor, God is giving us a promise to Ezekiel for the people. He wants them to know that he is their God and that he will put his spirit inside them. Ezekiel, a priest turned a prophet, whose name actually means God will strengthen, has a new understanding of who God is and has hope for his people. You know, we can never underestimate the power of God, that God can turn death to life, that God can do the impossible, that God is a God of order, and when all hope is lost, the Spirit of God can make a way. Do you remember the story about Abraham and Sarah? Remember, she was really, really old. She wanted to have a baby, and she was trying to become pregnant, and God asked Abraham, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Or what about Mary, Jesus' mother, when she became pregnant and asked the angel Gabriel, "How can this be?" His response, "With God, all things are possible." In this text, we can see resurrection hope. We need hope. We need that four-letter word, and that four-letter word can change our life. We need hope in the Spirit of the living God, the power of his word, that he can bring life into any situation, no matter how hopeless. We can remember the prodigal son. Remember the words of the father who said this, This son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was lost, but now he is found. We can have hope. Hope that God can revive us, that we are made alive in Christ. Hope. Hope in the promises of God that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can have hope that God is in control. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We can have hope that God will empower us. Those who hope in the Lord, Isaiah says, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As believers, we can even have hope when in death. We can grieve as people who have hope. This past week, I learned about a former congregant in another church. She went for a Bible study. She went to I Square for lunch. She fell, hit her head, was rushed to the hospital, went into a coma, and several weeks later, they gave her no hope. Several weeks later, she died. As believers, we have hope. As believers, we have hope beyond the grave. We have resurrection hope. And that is the hope that... And we read in Scripture also, remember this, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Our theme is church is hopeful. We can have hope because of the risen Christ. The word church is a verb. Now, remember what verbs are? Adverbs, verbs, nouns, verbs. Verbs are the action words, right? We have within us the greatest hope for all the world to see. The church is an instrument for the hand of God to establish his kingdom. The church is defined by action of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world. The church's orientation is not towards itself, for our own protection, for our own assets, but the church really is a movement outward, a movement towards others, others who have no hope, others who have not heard the good news of Christ, others who stand in fear, others who are having a really difficult time. The church can be a place of refuge, refuge for the poor, for the broken, for the needy, for the weary, for the poor in spirit, for the abused, for the addicted. We, Christ in us, the hope of glory, we have hope for the hopeless. And our hope is in the living God, the one who breathes new life in us, the one who breathes new life in us as individuals, in our marriages, in our families, in our church, and in our city. We can have that living hope. Experts actually say that hope can be learned. So those of us who didn't have hope at first, we actually can learn to have hope. So I thought that was good news. We can learn to have hope. And sometimes we may need to learn to restructure our thoughts, maybe to see our situation in a different angle to have hope. We can have hope that nurturing our spiritual life actually is important, and it actually is effective. If you've read Man's Search for Meaning, any of us read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning? A very powerful book on his quest for meaning, Frankl's quest for meaning and times at a concentration camp. And it's very reflective, but it gives a lot of encouragement as we go through really difficult times. And I just want to read a little clip as it relates to nurturing our soul, nurturing ourselves with hope. In spite of all the enforced physical and mental primitiveness of the life in a concentration camp, it was possible for spiritual life to deepen. Sensitive people who were used to a rich intellectual life may have suffered much pain. They are often a delicate constitution. But the damage to their inner selves was less. They were able to retreat from their terrible surroundings to a life of inner riches and spiritual freedom. So no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on around us, we can nurture our soul, we can nurture our spiritual life, and that can give us hope. We know that life's not easy. We know we never know what tomorrow will bring, but we can have hope. We can have hope, we can nurture hope, we can learn to develop hope. The author of Hebrews describes hope as the anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Maybe you've been praying for your partner to find faith. Maybe you've uttered under your breath, or he or she will never change. Maybe you've lost hope in finding the man or woman of your dreams, or you've wondered if your marriage will actually survive another year. But God is a God of hope. And his word says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God can make a way forward, and we may not know what that way forward will look like. We may not know, but what we do know is we can put our hope and our trust in him because he is faithful, and he promises never to leave us or forsake us. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you are the living hope. We thank you that you are at work in us. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. You transform us by the renewing of our mind. Lord God, we thank you that you are our healer. You restore us, you renew us. And Lord, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that we can place our hope and trust in you because you are good and you are faithful. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.